Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Action-packed lineup. We do the women most disgusted to have sex with me 2019, 30 through 21. It's a murderer's row of women who don't want to have sex with me or who would be disgusted having sex with me. Eat your feelings. And I will say this. This is the least keto tasting of all the eat your feelings that Gina's ever done by far. It is keto friendly, but it tastes like bread. And we'll get into more of that. First, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Break-ins spike during the holiday seasons. Families are traveling. Burglars know you're not around. Your gifts are lying around. Only one in five homes has a security company because, well, they don't make it easy. Long-term contracts, monthly costs, hidden fees. Simply Safe, two eyes in Simply Safe. That's my choice. Comprehensive, professional home security at a fair price. Now's the best time. My listeners get a free security camera and a huge discount. Protect every room, door, and window with 24/7 professional monitoring, plus smart lock and video doorbell. Defend your front door from the porch pirates. People out there snatching stuff off your porch. Let's protect ourselves. Starts at just $15 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees, no fine print. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Visit simplysafe.com/Adam to get a free camera plus Simply Safe's holiday savings. This offer is for a limited time only, and it's ending soon. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam today. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, former CBS executive Vinnie Favalli. With Gina Grad on news and a new Eat Your Feelings recipe, Balt Bryan on sound effects, we'll take a look at some of this year's women most disgusted to have sex with Adam, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, not a porch pirate, but a former service porch resident, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The children's going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Ball Bryan.
Drunk. I'm drunk.
Yeah, we got a story with Bald, a mystery.
An ever-evolving mystery.
I forgot I did sleep on a porch, and I did
involving a porch.
I did laugh at the meter guy having to knock on the back door at a back door, and the guy like boom boom boom. We have to let him in. He'd come in the house and read the meter. A meter reader coming in the house. He'd open the closet, and the meter was in the closet above the washing machine.
He didn't tell you that you also had to like take your pants off while he read it, right? Because it's weird that he would come in the house to
time
read
to
a meter.
Read the meter.
I had the meter, the water heater, and the clothes washing machine, no dryer, in my room. And now that I'm thinking about how goddamn hot it would get in there during the summer, I bet having the water heater in there probably didn't help.
Didn't help.
Probably exacerbated the heat.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Vinnie Favalli, head of CBS Late Night from 96 to 2018, co-founder, VP Programming Comedy Central as well, produced a late night show with Letterman from 96 to 2015.
So you know Vinnie.
Worked on Letterman stuff. Howard oversaw the Howard Stern show that was on TV. I mean, he's New York comedy late night. Crazy, crazy story. So got kind of caught up in the Me Too thing. But again, these things that sweep the nation, be careful, because there are some sometimes people get caught up in them that don't deserve to be caught up in the in these movements. So we'll talk to him about that. I don't know, what's it like to work with you know, Letterman and Colbert and
some
Stern,
of the Titans, yeah,
all these guys. And it's really a weird it's really a weird thing, because at the end of the day, it's not your station, it's your personality.
Okay.
Jimmy has just kind of a regular guy personality. Now, all the guys that are late night guys or the Howard Sterns or whatever, they'll have a certain degree of, hey, I want it done my way and I want it done quickly, because that's how you get to where you are. But at the end of the day, you really just have a kind of a personality.
Okay.
And there's Jimmy, there's Leno, there's Fallon. They're like regular nice guys who are in super high. So it's like you take regular nice people and you put them in the corner office and you put them in charge of 200 people. Mm-hmm. And then what you have is a regular nice person, but that guy is not working at a sprout farm in Minneapolis. He's running 200 people. So you have a regular nice person who does occasionally raise their voice or go, where was I already asked for this. Right. I don't want to ask for it again, because they're forced to kind of be that person.
They're
but the
hub of the wheel. You know what I mean? All the spokes go back to them.
But the person themselves are easy. Yeah. Who've just risen to that, whatever. Yeah. And then there's Colbert, and then there's Letterman, and then there are many others, Ellen DeGeneres, who are not that.
Right.
They run everything, and they're not that laid-back person. And that's when you kind of run into it. Mm. Because the situation is going to put you, it's a daily sort of fire drill where you're in charge of 200 people in a building that has 8 floors and everyone's running around. It's already that.
You're the hub.
If you're not friendly, laid back, and easy, it's going to then, you're going to be constantly banging off the rev limiter. All right, so we'll get some insights into that. We need a ball puller for Oxnard, everybody. Saturday's taken care of, but we need a Friday nighter, I think. Is that fair, Max Zapata? That is Levity Live this weekend, 13th and 14th.
Is that two shows or one?
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. All right.
And just email questions at adamcarolla.com for that.
Yeah, so I we're going to eat our feelings, I got to tell you, man, that that thing, I've always said it, and then a study came out and confirmed it, which is I had to get up at about 5:30 this morning. First thing I did was went right for the yogurt with some peanut butter in it, which is not a big faux pas, but I don't normally eat until noon.
Right.
I was hungry.
Yep.
Like, I was 5:45. I gotta get some
your
food in me.
Shock.
Your soul is disturbed.
Then I went to the satellite place to shoot the thing and do a bunch of interviews.
The thing.
The thing for No Safe Spaces. Okay. It was 45 degrees outside when I went into that pool this morning, man. It was cold this morning. I went in. I felt good. I went out and I got to the place and I sat there, and in the green room was a chafing tray of breakfast burritos.
Oh, the best.
The medium mini breakfast burritos, like bacon, ham, cheese, egg, potato. And
have every reason in the world.
And then I'm like, I'm not going near those. And then they came in and they went, your first hit's not till late. And I went, I thought my first hit was at 7:30. And they go, it's 8 o'clock. And then I sat down. I looked at that tray. I was like, fuck it.
Get it on.
Yeah.
Ate that goddamn thing.
Can you not dissect it and do the keto? There's a lot of good keto stuff in there. Bacon, cheese.
He was half asleep.
I was like, fuck it. It's a mini burrito. I deserve it. I'm in trauma here. And then I got home at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I was hungry.
Yeah.
Now, my schedule is I get up at 8:30. I drink my coffee. I put a little cream and MCT oil in it. And mostly go the entire day. Just come home at night and eat dinner. Like, wow. I'd already eaten. I was now on my third bout of eating, and
breakfast.
I was starving.
Wow.
And it was like
a hobbit.
It was like 10:45, and I was like, I got to get some food in me. I'm going to collapse. You get traumatized.
Yeah.
When you get that schedule jacked up, man, you get off your sleep pattern, you and just everything get traumatized yep. and hungry. Right.
Well, I'm going to hook you up. I think you guys are really going to like this.
Okay, because I'm starving.
Good. Well, you are.
Ready for fourth breakfast?
You became starved on the right day.
So, Brian, you have a very interesting story.
Well, you'll tell me if it's interesting, but it's bizarre.
I've heard the thumbnail sketch I got sounded interesting enough for me.
Okay, here we go. Christy gets up early in the morning with the sun to go to a bar method, right? The gym, the bar workout.
Love her or hate her?
I can do both.
You can do both. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive. She goes to bar method at like 6:30 in the morning, comes back at 7:30. Tess is in bed with me. We're waking up. I'm reading her story or whatever. And she goes, she phrased it like this. Did one of your friends leave a backpack on the porch? And I'm like, I really doubt it. I'm not planning on having anyone leave a backpack on the porch. And I'm like, was the backpack there when you left? And she goes, I'm not sure. And so we go outside, and sure enough, there's a backpack on the porch.
Because she's walking out. She may have went past back, you'd see it.
It would be a little bit out of her purview as she walked out of the house. And so I said, well, let's check the Ring video doorbell and see if someone dropped a backpack off. And sure enough, at 10:21 last night, this video, well, I guess I can show the video.
Mm-hmm. Sky.
Of this
front
man
door.
With the backpack. Mm-hmm. Clear as day. Backpack's in the foreground.
Right.
Not trying to break in.
No.
Clearly trying to unlock the door. Like
using his keys.
Yeah, he's having trouble unlocking the door.
As he should.
Mm-hmm. Now, my first instinct when I saw someone I didn't recognize on the Ring video doorbell, I was like, oh shit, someone's trying to break into our house. But right away, as I'm watching this video, I'm like, oh, this dude's trying to this is a drunk guy trying to unlock my door.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Because you're going to see the backpack slide off his arm, and that's the drunk move right there. He's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
What's weird is we were still awake. We were in the bathroom getting ready for bed, and with the heater on, that fart fan heater combo you're talking about.
Hooked it up today.
The two button. Yeah. It's so that's why we didn't hear anything. And Charlie must not have heard anything. Our dog must not have heard anything anyway. So this is 10 minutes after we let Charlie out to go to the bathroom. Very weird that we missed him by less than 10 minutes.
Out to the bathroom in the front.
He's in the front. We have a fence.
Oh, front. Okay, fence. So this guy.
Because I go out there to unplug the inflatable gingerbread man and shit.
This guy thinks he's at someone's house. Now it's weird that he would think he was at his house.
That's okay. So that's impossible.
That sounds far fetched to me.
Right.
I feel more like he's come in from out of town. Yeah. A buddy gave him a key. Right. Told him it was on whatever street.
It's his Airbnb.
That's where my head went right away, because we brought the backpack in, and initially I was a little scared. I'm like, don't bring
it's
a weird
ticking,
backpack.
Yeah, vibrating?
But I'm like, I looked at the Ring video doorbell. Like, this guy's not a threat. He obviously was very likely was drunk or altered or something.
Right.
So I looked at the backpack, and it is full of very valuable things. There's a full-on laptop, 16-inch MacBook Pro, like a nice laptop. Mm. There's a hard drive.
I don't want to jump to the end, but Gabe grabbed it and threw it on the freeway.
I did put the keys on top of the tire.
Yeah. So
the laptop, a hard drive, headphones, it's full of his stuff.
Full of expensive
stuff. No phone that I can find. I don't really go through the whole thing. I'm just trying to find out who this guy is. And there's a bunch of opened mail that's a mail he opens and putting stuff in his backpack. And it's addressed to his name and also to his production company. Turns out he's a producer. He's like in the industry. And so now it's easy to find out who this guy is, right? Because now I have both his company name and his name.
Yeah, because you committed a federal offense. And went through his mail.
The mail was open. The mail was open. I did not read it. I simply looked at the address on the front. And so at this point, hold on, I'm trying to figure out where I am. Oh, so at this point, I'm like, I'm Googling the guy. I mean, he has an IMDb page. He's on Twitter. And I'm like, now my options are keep the backpack in the house where it's safe. I don't want some random person just grabbing a backpack off my porch. That'd be pretty shitty. I could leave the backpack on the porch where he left it.
Well, that's a weird decision because it's a tough decision, because if he recalls and does the math and figures it out, then he might return to retrieve it.
Right.
But then he could knock on the door, I suppose.
If he remembers where he was.
That's true.
A sign of the guy. This is 8 in the morning. Then we dig through his backpack a little more. On the outside, keys. Car keys.
Car keys.
Car keys and house keys. There's a whole bunch of keys. There might be 12 keys on there.
You're saying there's a Ring that holds multiple keys?
This one
Who's
had multiple
created
keys.
Such a device?
I was inspired to go on Amazon after this. It wasn't just car keys, is my point.
Uh-huh.
So who knows if he got back to his house?
So not a rental car?
Unlikely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the keys are to a Ford. right? Mm-hmm. It's Ford Key fob. And I say to Christy, we're looking at the backpack, and she's like, oh, I noticed a strange car parked outside. Because our street goes straight into a left turn. There's only one way you can go off our street. So there's not that many strange people that park in our neighborhood. It's all neighbors.
You'd know.
And so she's like, oh, there's a black car parked outside I've never seen before. I'm like, is it a Ford? She goes outside. She goes, sure is. Click. Beep, beep. It opens. Mm-hmm. It's his car parked right outside our house.
Mm-hmm.
So now my option could be put the backpack in the car.
Mm.
But then what's it do with the keys?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Gabe says, put it on the wheel of the driver's side. Poor Gabe. It's too easy, though. Yeah. It's too easy. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So now, I guess you can contact people these days with Twitter and IMDb and stuff like that. You can get the names of people and
Chris is helping me sleuth this out, and we have sent, between us, we've sent messages on Twitter, like direct messages, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't want to out this guy. Maybe it's not who he is. Maybe he's drunk. I don't know. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No response yet. Hmm. That was an hour ago.
Well, all right,
old school, put a letter on his windshield.
So I did. Okay, sorry. What I did was backpack in the trunk, lock the trunk, keys in like a manila envelope in my mailbox, which sits outside the house, with a note on the car that says, hey, oh yeah, the code's right there. Hey, I've got your keys. Text me or call me. I'll tell you where they are.
Oh.
Because I know who he is. So if some rando person's like, hey man, can I get in my car? Like, okay, well, what's your name? What's in the backpack?
No one's going to mess with a doctor since it's on Cedars-Sinai letterhead.
That's right.
Hey, the perks of brain tumor.
Yeah.
Cedars-Sinai all the stationary.
It's all flowing your way.
So, what do I do?
Well, first off, you've done as much as you could possibly do.
He left the backpack on the right porch.
He certainly did.
And now I'm trying to figure out, the car's there.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get dropped off there, or did he drive there? Is part of the question.
That's interesting. So I remember when I let... At one point around 8:30 or 9, when Tessa was going down for bed, I went out to my car to get her little, her little blanket, because I left it in my car, and there was no car behind me. So at some point between 9 and 10:20, that car arrived. See mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah, so he drove it there.
It's very likely.
All right, so he drove it there. He thought he was going to his Airbnb or to his buddy's house mm-hmm. or something. Then the kind of question is, was he one street over? Was he two houses over? Like, who lives, who's in the business, who's got the buddy? Yeah, there's sort of who's in the neighborhood. But
I can tell you this footnote. I know my neighbors at this point have been there for almost 10 years. No one's in the industry. You know what I mean? No one that I know on my block.
Well, wait a second. You had his mail. What was the address? Was the address something
okay, so
yours?
Yes, his home address is in the Valley. Sorry, tricking things up. Like, his business and his home are not anywhere near me.
Mm. This could be chick related. I don't know. But... He doesn't know where his car is because he went to the wrong street that he thought was five streets over or is named something else or something. I think the reason he's not physically gone back.
He doesn't know where the car is.
You would immediately go to your car.
That was my thinking, right?
You would immediately go to your car, but the reason the keys didn't work is the reason he can't find the car.
Oh, just the opposite.
Yeah, he went to the wrong house on the wrong street. Uh-huh. He could be five streets off, and that's why he's not finding his car, because now the sobering light of the next day, he is going to the right street and looking for his car, and it's not there. Yeah,
that makes sense.
So he doesn't know where his car is, and the only way you can find it is if you hold the fob above your head and click it.
Which he does not have.
So he may have the... Email backup. So I think if he knew where his car was, he would immediately go to his car.
Of course.
Like if you went home, if you Ubered home that night and you woke up with up next morning with a headache, first order of business, let's go find my car. So he's probably going to where he thought he went in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is not where his car is.
So he may not know where his car is.
I don't think he knows where his car is, because why would he know where his car was if he got the wrong house?
Yeah, he parked the car on the wrong street and tried to get in the wrong house.
So did he eventually end up at the right house?
With no keys?
I would say that would be...
There could be a separate key. If it's a house he's borrowing or...
That would be a tough putt. I bet he Ubered back to
the valley
and slept there. That would be my...
How to get into his house?
I don't know. I feel like
I have a key ring with 30 keys on it.
You're saying there's a single ring?
No. I'm saying there's one ring with many keys.
But each key has its own ring.
I took a picture of so many things.
This is wizardry.
So I found that most human beings, especially who live in the valley, can figure out a way into their own house minus the keys. Mm-hmm. God knows. I've gotten into my house a lot.
Especially if you're living with someone.
Without the keys. Right. Yeah. So probably got back to his house, probably spent the night at his house, and does not know what street his car's on because he probably had some address four streets over. Now he's going to have to scour looking for his car in that general vicinity. Or, listen, I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with people that are fully blacked out.
Yeah.
But people are fully blacked out.
That dude in the mirror?
Yeah.
He's messed up.
The fully blacked out guys I've dealt with in the past, they get in the car, they drive, they function, they do everything,
and have no recollection of
anything.
Yeah. Does it show on the ring when he dropped the backpack?
No. All it shows is him fiddling with the lock, which is why I'm not that quick to jump to the conclusion that he drove drunk. That's not at all, 100%. And maybe it was dropped off. Maybe he put the car there and then went to someone's house and got drunk.
But it's like a woman's purse. Like, you don't just put it down and walk away.
I have no idea.
A giant backpack with all of his most precious belongings, all of his work shit.
As I alluded to earlier, he fucking picked the right house to drop his backpack off. And the car. My street is one of the few streets in West LA that doesn't have any parking restrictions. His car could have been towed.
Do you...
Lucky guy.
Seriously. All things considered, this is the best case scenario.
Well, now it's been a number of hours.
People have been tweeting me, like, because I've had this whole saga. They're like, call the cops. And I'm like, at first, I'm like, don't be ridiculous. I'll just get a hold of the guy. It's been 15, 16 hours? No, nothing?
Maybe sleeping it off.
Well,
that's a lot of sleep.
I would say let's not get the man involved with this yet. That would be me. Let's not narc out this Brosiff yet.
I agree.
He literally, it seems to me that he should be scouring. He's got to go full hangover, like recreate
the evening,
and then scour looking for his car.
Is this an out of date suggestion? Since nobody has a landline anymore, you can't cross reference his home address and find a phone number anymore. People don't do that, right? Because we don't have landlines, or have you done
that? That's my next step.
I mean, that should probably be done.
Well, his home address is in the San Fernando Valley.
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm. You've already gone well beyond.
I would say so.
But a note on his door would probably fix this.
Give it to me.
Here's where your car is.
Brian, I live in the San Fernando Valley. I will drop it off if you want me to.
We won't say where he lives, but proximity.
I also forget. I think he lives... the business address is in something lake. Not Toluca Lake. Is there another lake?
West Lake?
Yucaris.
That's too far. I'm not going. West Lake.
All right. And he's in the San Fernando.
And he's in Studio City or something like that.
All right.
Just give it to me. I'll do it.
Drop it off.
That's the best I can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can do at this point.
What happened to Gina? She knocked under this strange guy's door. She was raped on the porch.
Never to
be
seen
again. And now Brian's being sued.
They didn't bring her inside.
Nope, didn't bring
her
inside.
It's on the ring. It's all on the ring.
Oh, the ring video cut out before the moment of penetration, so there's no evidence, anything.
Yeah, I'd say the real definitive way, and if you're looking for something better than a boy in the reward department, you doing the concierge service by putting a note on the door.
Yeah.
That's
pretty big time.
That's a winner.
You have to cut me in, you realize. Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, because he's in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I'll talk to the higher-ups.
All right, Gina, you want to fire up your...
Yeah!
Eat your feelings. I'll tell you guys about Castrol Edge. We have Women Most Disgusted Have Sex With Me 2019 as well. Dawson, you got that ready. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. You tweet us at Adam Carolla Show at hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance three times,
fool!
Stronger against engine failure and viscosity breakdown. What do you got, Max Batta?
This is from at Daniel Wheely on Twitter. Wants to know, hashtag casual challenge, when traveling in the evening or inclement weather, is it appropriate to alert drivers without their head or tail lights on? And how do you do it?
You know, the thing that's weird is lights on, even when the sun is shining at noon, is wildly effective for some reason. Like, you see a motorcycle and it's got its lights on and it's like splitting the lanes and coming up behind you. It's much more visible from a much longer distance, even just in the middle of the day. So, you know, driving with your lights on doesn't hurt. I always like the argument, like, Volvo was probably one of the first cars that just started with the self-driving lights, like they just came on when you drove the car. But I remember, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but you ever get in a car with like a buddy or a family member or something, it's like wintertime and it's like 4:56 and you go, you should turn your lights on. And they go, it's not quite dark yet. And you go, I know, but it's pretty dark. It's starting to get dark. And they go, it's not dark yet. And you go, but just put your lights on. And they go, street lights aren't on. It's like, okay, how long are we going to do this? You can just turn the lights on.
Do you much experience this? The valets always turn your automatic lights to like off. It's like, these go on automatically.
Yeah.
There's no need to think about it.
I think in their world, they haven't experienced a lot of automobiles that do that automatically. So, it helps. It's good, even when it's clear as a bell out there. So, thank you, Casual Challenge. All right, what do you got, Gina?
Well, they are warming up, and Gabe will bring them right in just a minute or two.
Mm.
Oh, can I start the intro or no?
I have. Let's read the list of people that would. Yeah. What are we doing? Right. 30 through 21? All right.
Nice music.
After thousands of nominations and votes cast on Twitter and Facebook, we have the definitive 2019 rankings of the women who would be most disgusted to have sex with Adam. You had many good suggestions. We'll go through the top 30 over the next 3 days. Before we look at the ladies who ranked 30 through 21, first, some honorable mentions in the top 100 we're surprised didn't rank higher. Coming in at number 51, she's from Down Under and would be disgusted to be Down Under Adam, Hannah Gadsby.
Mm. Oh, wow, yeah. Mm.
That's
sure.
fair. That's fair. Yeah.
She hates Trump, loves Twitter, and if Adam had sex with her, she'd vomit up the scones she baked fearlessly. Chrissy Teigen at number 63.
She hated him.
She makes banana bread, though. I like that about her.
She'd take a knee and then take a bullet if Adam ever had sex with her. At number 44, Teresa Kaepernick.
Oh,
I didn't see that coming.
Caps mom, yeah. Shocking. Boy, I'm zigging and zagging here.
She left Saturday Night Live, and she'd leave the planet after having sex with Adam. At number 42, Leslie Jones. On to the list. She died in the most recent Avengers movie.
Spoiler.
And she'd want to kill herself in real life if he had sex with her. Number 30, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, no. Scarlett's cool.
Making the top 30 for the first time, she'd give away every award in her EGOT to avoid having sex with him. Whoopi Goldberg, number 29.
Yeah.
Two-way street. Little lady.
Staying on the list 3 years in a row, Donald Trump might be the only person she'd want to have sex with less.
Ivanka?
At number 28, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow.
She's a handsome woman.
Driving onto the top 30 from 45 last year, she'd be furiosa if he had sex with her. Charlize Theron. Holding her top position in the top 30, she'd be as annoyed and confused having sex with him as we are as listening to her singing. At number 26, oh yes, Yoko Ono.
Well, let me say this. What if you were banging the bejesus out of Yoko Ono and she was like, and you're like, I've heard you in concert.
All you do is scream and yell for a living.
Yeah. But no, I'm enjoying myself. It's good. It's good. I'm deriving pleasure. And you're just like pounding the bejesus out of her. And she's like,
not bad.
If you must.
It's okay. And you're like, come on.
We can't stop you from screaming and hooting and hollering.
Every single time you walk into a building with a roof on it, you pick up a microphone, and you start screaming.
You wail.
Yeah, could you imagine this just balls deep in Yoko and dead silence?
Crushing to your ego.
Mm, it would. So for that reason, I'm glad.
A newcomer to the list. She'd never come again after being humped by Adam. Number 25, Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, surprising.
I don't know. I feel like I think we'd have stuff to talk about.
I don't know how this one made it up so high up on the list. It's kind of confusing, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Number 24 on the list is Gina's friends.
That's good.
Inspired.
Well done, everybody.
Most of them are trannies, though, right?
No, not in that picture.
Okay.
I have very hot cisgendered lady friends.
Mm.
After having sex with him.
I think I could turn a few of them out.
The Great Wall.
I'd work the angle where I'd do the move where I'd drag my hand along the back of their cheek.
Okay.
And I'd start with, you know, I take what I want. And then I'd say,
they never stop laughing.
Gina's a great gal, isn't she? And they'd go, oh, she's the best. And I'd go, it'd be such a shame if something happened to her career.
You know what? You could lay one of them doing that. That's how much they love
they
me.
Would take one for the team.
Those are my ride or die bitches.
Yeah.
Inspired choice.
After having sex with Adam.
It's a shame to see her back working overnights with Randy Wang. Wouldn't that be sad? Boy, I would hate to see something happen.
Screen call for Whitman.
That's right. Screen call for
Whitman.
That's
real
good. Yeah, sorry. All right, go ahead.
After having sex with him, Grace would not have the will to live. Mm. Number 23, Deborah Messing.
Yes, strong.
Another good choice.
She hung on to her position on the list like she's hanging on to her seat on the bench. This member of SCOTUS wouldn't want to see his scrotus. Number 22, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah.
I don't know if she's physically up to that challenge.
Well, she's having some hip problems, so don't hurt her.
Well, their positions I've spoke about with her surgeons that would be acceptable. Okay. I won't get into the details.
Number 6 in 2017, falling to number 71 last year.
What?
She has made a huge comeback, just like she predicted would happen with Michael Richards' career.
Oh.
Gloria Allred, number 21.
Looks terrified.
You don't have a crystal ball. Nobody knows.
You wouldn't know
but
that.
But you have crystal balls.
Tune in tomorrow to find out who's in the teens.
Nice.
Wow.
Inspired.
That's great.
Thank you, people. You know, there's no way you can compile a list that way by just sort of sitting down with a steno pad. We need you people to participate.
That's right.
Gina's friends.
That was awesome. I can't wait to tell them.
We've been eating your offering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to call it other than delectable. Here we go. We have an opening.
Gina Grads, eat your feelings. Brought to you by Butcher Box.
She could not stop eating. The sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy
I don't know what to call this one. It's frittery, but it's a savory.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the things you've made, I would declare this one is not keto friendly.
If I just tasted it,
I would go, come on now. I get the stuff with the bacon and the beef and the meat and the vegetables, but this does not feel like it would pass muster. If Vinny came in the room right now, I would hide it. Dawson pull out a fifth taco, but I would hide this thing if Vinny came in the room.
It has a very breadcrumby, almost crab cake kind of taste to it.
How did you do this?
Well, I call these little puppies a keto sausage puff. Mm-hmm. And like a cheese puff, you know, for, I wanted to think of like, it's Christmas time. People are bringing appetizers to parties and stuff. What would be a good party hors d'oeuvre to bring to a get together? And I stumbled upon these little babies and of course had to Gina-ize a lot of the recipes. And it is completely grain free.
Oh my God.
My fiance said they taste like the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits because yeah. they're kind of biscuity.
I got to tell you, I don't know if there's any, you take this and you get some sort of delectable Dunkin' sauce mm-hmm. or something and some creamy something and now you're in the it's stratosphere. Done.
And this is absolutely, this is almond flour and cream cheese. Those are your wow. binding agents in these. There's no regular flour. There's nothing like that. And you just put a little bit of baking powder in and it kind of puffs it up and gives it that nice biscuity
they
quality.
They just, you know, look, the best thing you could say about it is it looks like you couldn't eat it.
Yeah.
yeah.
It just looks like
it's
something.
It's like one bite and you're like breadcrumbs.
We, right. I did two batches because I did a test batch just to make sure I wasn't bringing you guys some dog food. And I was like, oh, these are good. I'm going to make the next batch. And my guy pretty much ate all two dozen of them. So
tell your friends, yeah. by the way, in terms of batches, I'm a single batch guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I like to watch SportsCenter with the door closed.
What's up, batches?
They're going to be horrified. So this is.
Exactly.
That's why they made the list. This is Butcher Box ground pork I used because I wanted to do just mm-hmm. something ground pork and something appetizery. So these are really, really fun to make because it's just saute a little onion and mushroom because that's what I like to do. Mix everything in your mixer or by hand and then scoop them. You know, like a golf ball size, you do it with your hand, do it with an ice cream scooper, you know, two dozen of them, put them on a baking sheet, 20 minutes later, and you're going to make everybody happy. I would suggest making a double batch, because if you take these to a party, I really do think people will eat them very quickly.
I will definitely say in that world where at some point you've just had too much bacon and too much beef and too much savory, and it's like, I get it, it's the greatest stuff ever, but at some point I want something that resembles bread or mm-hmm. rice or pasta. You're not going to get any closer than this and stay yeah. on the keto side of the yeah. of the Mason-Dixon
That's
line.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
I'm so glad. So just go to my website. It's all up with my pretty pictures and my descriptions, and I'm really helpful. And anything you need to know, you can always email me. But it's grainfreecomfortfood.com. Grainfreecomfortfood.com. Recipes there, pictures are there, and I'm glad you guys enjoyed them.
Indeed. Please refrain from saying easy or fun when you're describing making quality
See,
food.
I swapped out easy for fun. I didn't
yeah,
think you'd notice.
Oh, I noticed.
Brought to you by ButcherBox.
Do some healthy eating.
Well, nothing better than ButcherBox. I just talked to Mike August today, and he's like, in June, you're going to Alaska, and you're going, we're going to go where ButcherBox gets their salmon.
What?
That's right.
Live show.
We're going to take a box, and we're just going to catch them and throw them in the box. It says they run 6 days. It's like a six-day period.
Are you being serious?
I'm totally serious. I had this conversation
live
with
show.
Mike August.
Yeah. I'm dying yeah. to go to Alaska.
Well, maybe we can work it out, because he booked a comedy club over there,
wow.
and they have comedy. Comedians go over there.
Course,
do
man,
it all the time.
You
go
laugh.
There, you stay like a cabin.
Boy, do they.
It gets dark at 1 a.m. and gets light at 4 a.m.
I've always wanted to go to Alaska.
So you end
Me
up
too.
It's
Northern
like
Lights.
Al Pacino in that movie.
Ah, insomnia.
Yeah. God, I felt tired after that movie.
It was so exhausting.
All I wanted to do was eat breakfast burritos. And so he's like, that's where Butcher Box gets their stuff. Anyway, high-quality meat sent right to my home. No antibiotics, no hormones. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat. Enough for 24 individual meals, free shipping anywhere in the U.S., no Alaskan or Hawaii, but what do you need Alaska for? They're coming right out of the river. No commitment. Cancel anytime. Offer 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon free. Plus, $20 off your first box. Go to butcherbox.com/M. Get yourself a present for the holidays. Do it for you, man. It's good stuff. You're always stocked up, and it's always there. ButcherBox.com/Adam or enter the promo code Adam at checkout and get all the savings and all the bacon and all the ground beef. All right. Vinny Favalli, who has a very interesting story. Well, you want to talk about a guy who's been around and seen the late night world from the inside out, all these people, and then getting kind of caught up. I don't even know. You know, he didn't really even get Me Too'd. He just kind of got like, that language is not acceptable among in this room. And listen, when you take guys, I don't want to be like I'm not doing that thing where it's like, you know, racist grandpa. Oh, he's set in his ways. It's not that. It's just you get used to a certain way of talking, and you think you're in front of comedians.
Right.
You think you're in front of comedians, which either means some of the easiest guys. I mean, I was literally talking to I was talking to Jimmy about this the other day, and we were talking about how, you know, if you fall asleep in the room, Sal would drop his pants to his bare ass, go Yokozuna on your head, and drop his bare ass on your head.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
And Mike August chipped his tooth with his own Rolex watch, trying to protect himself, and then admitted it was his fault for falling asleep and laughed it off. And then Jimmy said to me the other day, he goes, yeah, I'd fall asleep, too, because Jimmy would fall asleep, but he'd go, I'd put a toothpick in my mouth when I fell asleep. Because then either Sal would get stabbed in the ass or I'd get killed. So that would stop him. So I'd put a toothpick in my mouth, and then I'd nod off watching TV. So those are the kinds of people that are in the writer's room, or there's a new breed, super fucking uptight and going right down to HR and reporting fucking everything. And you don't know who's in that room.
Right.
And all, by the way, you have nine of those people and then two super uptight people. You think you're in a comedy room and you're trying to make people laugh, too. And they're just collecting everything and marching it down the fucking hall. And then eventually there's this shit where they go, we know everything out of context, and we know you didn't, you know, but we got to let you go.
Yeah, we can't make an exception.
There's that. So Vinny wants to tell his story, and I want to talk to him all about the Stearns and the Lettermans and the late nights and all that. We'll do that right after this.
Get your tickets now for Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. December 13th and 14th in Oxnard at Levity Live. In Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater on January 24th. And at Chicago's Park West on January 25th. Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, Barry in Iowa. Kind of a tradition of mine to ring you up every year and let you know that I'm another year soap free. And it's all because a few years back you went well into the new year without taking a shower, which I think is a little extreme, but the math checked out. So I decided to give it a go with the no soap. And wouldn't you know it, I don't stink, I'm not greasy. Everything is just fine. It's been 3 years. I haven't used a drop of soap or shampoo on my person at all. You're my hero.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, now that I'm in the swimming pool every morning, there is no shower, soap, or anything of the kind. Vinny Favalli is in studio. It's a guy's name I've heard a million times, as I guess you would if you were around Howard Stern and late night TV network and everything else. Head of CBS Late Night from 96 to 2018, and worked with Letterman and worked with Colbert and worked on the Stern Show between 98 and 2001. Good to see you, Vinny.
Good to see you. It's great to be here.
What, boy, that. I don't, they have these halcyon times, like the heavyweight division of the 70s with Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and George Foreman. We'll never see those kinds of characters again. In a way, I feel like late night's kind of that way. We're never going to have these big wars anymore.
Everyone plays nice now.
Yeah, and it's, and then also, it's just everyone is so segmented, you know. It's just, just watching it in real time. I mean, how many people would watch Johnny Carson? You know, it's 11:30. I got to go in. Don't bother me, woman. I'm turning the TV on. You know, when you had to go down versus like, I'll see it in the morning. I'll tape it. I'm going to bed.
Someone will email it to me the next day.
Right. So you were there for all of that.
Yeah, I was. I go back with Dave. I don't know if you know this, to 1982, his first year. I did stand up on his show.
Wow.
I did stand up, and it was such a an amazing time. It was my first job working at WNBC at 30 mm-hmm. Rock. I was working in the traffic department, you know, just commercials. And Letterman, if you remember, Letterman had done the morning show and was, you know, the show got canceled. And NBC had a holding deal with him. They were waiting for Tom Snyder to go off the air. Right. And give him 12:30. In that time, Letterman had an office right next to mine. Mm-hmm. On the second floor at 30 Rock. Now, wow. It wasn't the Letterman we know now. To me, I was impressed because I remember seeing him on Carson, and I mm-hmm. remember seeing him on Don Kirshner's rock concert. If sure. you remember, yeah. Kirshner actually featured a lot of stand-ups. And Howard
We're
Stern
looking
had,
at you on the show circa 1982.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The video's on YouTube. It's pretty funny. It was more of a novelty appearance, but it was great. He did a remote with me. I did stand-up. And then we did panel. It was like 12 minutes. But it was his first year when you could do stupid things like that.
I had a funny little revelation, which was, Max Pat, if you grab my phone, you'll see – oh, man, I'm going to do some late night name dropping here.
Ooh. Let's do it.
We were on our way last week to drive into Leno's shop to show Shelby American a car documentary. Every year when I finish the car doc, we go to Leno. He has the Tonight Show right. set up, and we sit there amongst the cars with Leno and watch it. It feels good. And when we were driving in, I didn't tell you guys, but I got right behind a car. It was in a rainstorm, and the license plate said Man Show. on the vanity plate. And so I saw Jimmy a couple days ago, and I said, you know, Jimmy, when you were a kid, you had a vanity plate that said Late Night.
That's right.
He was such a fan of Letterman.
I remember that.
And I said, now, my friend, it has come full circle because there's a show out there that says Man Show. And I showed him on my phone, and he goes,
that is why.
He goes, yeah, that's with two N's. That's the person's last name. And he handed the phone back to me, and I go, I like where your head's at.
Bob Mancho.
He's so humble.
Right. Right. But it was funny that he just went, that's probably the guy's name.
Well, I don't think he wants that kind of adoration. He
evidently
wants
not, because I give him a wide berth.
Yeah.
I give him a wide berth to do
it. It is,
and he did not
words. I don't think he would have had that played if there was no Mancho.
I just had another beer and sat at the other end of the table and let the moment
pass. Either way you slice it, it's an homage. You know, whether he's a huge fan of the show or his name is Man, he's still one with Man Show.
It's Man Show without the W. Show.
So I thought it was funny that he had that, and now it's come to this. But so I digress. So you're there. What is Letterman? Oh, we're looking. Oh, late night. We're looking at Jimmy Kimmel with the L,
right.
The number 8, and then NIT.
Right. It was Late Night with David Letterman at NBC and Late Show at CBS.
He was more. It's funny because I feel – you tell me if this is an accurate statement in your mind. Carson was ubiquitous. Everyone watched Carson,
right.
And everyone talked about Carson. But he wasn't influential the way Letterman was.
Right.
The young comedians, the Jimmy Kimmels, so many guys I know were influenced by Letterman. It was a weird thing. It was like he was talking to a young group of youth that were going to then go out and do his bidding at some point.
It's like the Velvet Underground. They said, you know, only 100,000 people bought their album, but they all formed bands. Mm-hmm. That became bigger. And that's
right.
True with Letterman. I mean, if you did Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life, and did it with Dave, and he wasn't in the picture. Like, the writers on his show went on to write for Seinfeld and Simpsons. They went on to create show.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a long list. Even Steve O'Donnell came over with you guys.
Donna Carey, guys like
did,
that.
Right,
Steve,
exactly.
We brought Steve over to the Man Show. I know Leno well. I love Leno. I don't hear any. I was inspired to do comedy by watching Leno
Although,
on Late Night.
Leno's some of his best years were when he did stand up on Letterman. When he did panel.
Right.
I think a lot of his reputation began there, and for people our age.
But
you know?
It's interesting. So it's sort of like saying, would you rather have a larger audience watching you? Or would you rather have triplets with one chick or have your seed spread around?
I could answer that. I think not even on Dave's behalf, but I think he wanted the audience.
He would have rather had the audience.
It wasn't, listen.
But it's not nearly as lasting a legacy as all these people with...
That was my feeling every day, but right. Every day coming in and looking at the overnight ratings and seeing that Leno had beat us again and again and again. I mean, Dave and I got into a heated conversation one time about ratings, and I felt horrible for him. For him, it was like imagine playing a baseball season and not winning a single game. Because it's every fucking day.
But did you have the feeling? And did Letterman have the feeling, which is, we have this little corner pizza place where we sell pizza by the slice.
Right.
We're across the street from a Pizza Hut, and they're kicking our ass every right. day. But we know our product is better.
Right.
Like, we know it's just somehow people are walking in. They like the Pizza Hut stuff, but we know we have a better product, and we're not getting more sales.
That was the pride. We all had that on the show, but... From the top, he wanted to, and rightfully, he wanted to win. Maybe he protested a bit much about the praise. You remember the Kennedy Center Honors when Jimmy did the tribute to him? That mm-hmm. was, I think, probably a big moment for him where he could now finally bask in the glow of everything he had done. But when you're doing it day to day, and I guess the fact that it was Leno that was beating him must have mm-hmm. added a whole other...
It was
level
Leno
of drama.
And the Tonight Show. Because
and then Fallon. You know, then it's like you got this young guy tweeting and doing things that were so alien to Dave's, like Dave as a person, or Dave's not going to do, we would say, hey, maybe we should introduce an aspect of Twitter into the show. And you get laughed out of the room, rightfully.
Well, I had a weird moment where I had a sort of insight. Like, you get an idea when you do these shows – of sort of how the people are wired, how the celebrities are wired or the hosts are wired. And, like, I can remember doing the Tonight Show and standing out there doing rehearsals or whatever with Leno. And Leno's guy, it's like his head writer, would go like, hey, Jay, don't do that joke. Do this joke. And then Jay would go, I'll do that joke. And then he'd go, yeah, and you're doing it wrong. Like, you need to do this and then do that. And you go, oh, okay, well, let's fix it in the prompter then.
Amazing.
And it's like, you couldn't speak that way to many late night show hosts. And so no. You'd have that kind of vibe. And then you go do Ellen's show and her segment producer comes in the room for a third time and goes, you're not going to talk about meat, are you? And I go, no, I'm going to talk about my kids and Christmas vacation. Okay, but please don't bring up meat. Just don't do it. And I'm like, okay, this person's scared shitless.
Oh, my God.
The other people around the Tonight Show didn't have any of that. Jimmy didn't have any of that. Then I brought Daniel Kellison when I did, Daniel Kellison.
Yeah, sure. He was there just before I started, but he was
Danny
legend.
Two Sheets. The guy's a maniac. He likes two sheets in his bed. It's crazy. It's like an upper one and a lower one.
Like a prince.
He's probably looking for a third to make like a club sandwich. I'll put one between my ass cheek. I sleep on my side. So all Daniel's doing is Letterman this and Letterman that. Right. And me and Letterman, we played softball, and he bought me a case of wine for my birthday.
He bought
and
me a watch.
Wedding, and he bought me this, and he's great, and he's the greatest. And he's the greatest. And so when I went there in 1998 or 9 or whatever to do my first appearance as a guest, not from the Man Show, but for Loveline on MTV, sitting in the little miniature dressing room and go out there. And I just had a really strong set. It was sit down, but it was like I came up with this premise of everyone should kiss my ass. I'm on Letterman now, and I called out all my gym teachers my boss from McDonald's. I used everyone's real name and said, kiss my ass. And the audience went nuts. They just loved it. It was a great appearance. And I walked back, and I sat in my dressing room, and Daniel came in because he was like in New York and Letterman and all his old friends and whatever. And Daniel is a in-your-face kind of ball of energy, like, let's go get this, and let's go. I mean, he's just one of those guys who's at a restaurant, and there's, like, the bachelorette party. It's like, sit around and drinks over that table, and then we'll dance on it, And he's standing there with me, and we have a great appearance, and, like, the producer comes in, great set, great job. And Daniel, for the first time ever, looks worried in his face, and he goes, is Dave upstairs?
Oh.
And the guy goes, yeah, I think he's in his office. And he goes, would it be? Do you think I should? And Daniel never says, do you think or can I or whatever. He's never like, get the fuck out of the way. We're going to party. You know, he'll kick everyone's door open, right? Right, and he goes, what kind of mood is he in? And they're like, I don't know. And he's like, should I go up and like say hi? And I'm like, Daniel, you worked here for 10 years. He loved you, remember? You're his favorite employee. And he's like, I don't know. Let's just go out to eat. Like, I don't want to risk it. And I thought,
I get that.
I get it too, but why? What's going on?
You know, there was just something. I mean, Dave, the great thing about Dave is, I mean, you know, I worked with him for 20 years.
Wait, that's not the great thing about Dave. No. Former employee scared to say hi.
Oh, well, you know, I respected the talent so much.
I agree.
I just felt like my whole time was get in and get out.
Daniel scared to say hi?
That doesn't make any sense because Daniel actually worked closely with Dave, a lot closer than I ever did, and did a lot of great things. So that doesn't make sense.
Well, for some reason, he was very trepidatious.
I think maybe what he was afraid of being told Dave doesn't want to see you for whatever reason. Because
right.
Dave would avoid people, not on a personal level. It's just he didn't want to, you know. Like, there was one time where I brokered a meeting with, remember Mel Karmazin?
Sure.
Okay, the head he was head of radio, Howard Stern.
Sure.
And then suddenly he became our boss, like
right.
when they merged. And we all agreed that this was something that they should know each other. And it was the socially awkward thing. Dave didn't want to have the meeting. Finally, we did it. We go into Dave's office. The lights are low. The music is so loud as if Paul Schaefer's playing somewhere. You know, we're screaming over each other. No one's offered a chair or drink. And we're just having this awkward, stilted conversation for 20 minutes.
Howard Stern. He doesn't like it when I call him Stern. Howard Stern, that late night show. How was that experience? Well,
that was a night. That almost got me fired. That was crazy because it was the syndicated show we did, the one that was on CBS that was supposed to beat Saturday Night Live. And CBS never had handled anything like that before with standards and practices. And I think Howard went over the top. I was Howard in his prime to thinking that was going to get the ratings. And the things that there was one instance where a woman came in and she showed her vagina and she clearly needed labia surgery, in Howard's opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she
it was an educational show.
So this is great. So she does the surgery. She comes back. Really, just part of the radio show. We could choose what we would use on television. So this was the radio show where this was happening, but there were cameras there, and we thought it was a good segment. She came back to show the surgery, how successful it was, and she presented him with the labia encased in glass. It could have been gum. Like, you couldn't know what it was. The censors went nuts. There's no way.
I'm another bite of calamari. Keep talking.
This segment is not
happening.
These are
feelings indeed.
And the thing about Howard was Howard pushed back rightfully on everything. And the pressure was on me. So it got to the point where it escalated. Whenever I would do battle, even with Letterman, it happened a lot where there was a standoff between me and the censors. I'd go to Leslie. You know, I would just say, because Leslie truly understood talent. He was very, very talent friendly. You know, the standards guys were just as afraid of Leslie, I think, as they were
Moonves, right?
As they were Letterman. And I remember tracking down Leslie saying, listen, I think we got to do this. Trust me, it sounds worse than it is. The labia is in glass. Like you said, it doesn't like calamari. And he gave me the green light, which was great. And that's the kind of stuff I fought with. And I realized that show, and that was on for 3 years, and every week was a nightmare. Like every, because this was CBS. You know, we went to Nappy. You know how Nappy you go, and they kiss your ass if you're like a show, you have the big show. We went to try to salvage the Stern show in the second year.
Nappy's like a big convention where you sell your show. I would be in Vegas. It'd be in New Orleans.
Yeah,
we were
in New Orleans, and you meet with the affiliates, and there's a lot of, you know, take a picture with the cast of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
Raymond was just about to go into syndication. They were queued around to the outside to meet Ray Romano and take a picture. We were meeting with affiliates in the back room who just came in to yell at us. And it was absolutely amazing. And Robin, like, you know, I'm from, you know, Milwaukee, and I just want to tell you that, you know, we bought your show, but you sold us a bill of goods. It's a horrible show, and I would never – well, and we will – thank you for coming. We are making changes. Like, we were literally making the case.
Apology tour.
And when I saw Howard in that context, I was like, wow, this guy is like – he's amazing. He had the thickest skin. He took it. Because, you know, it was a business. It's like, and we had to, you know, and we knew we had to adjust the show, but by then it was too late.
Loveline was sold at NAPTI, and it was a syndicated show before it ended up on MTV. And I went through that whole thing, like me and Dr. Drew, weird back rooms, people get filed in.
They file in,
like this guy, here's what he likes. Here's his team.
He likes hookers.
He likes hookers. And
Godfather 2 situation.
It's a minor league baseball team. He's a huge fan of, so pretend to know who the Mudhens are. Yeah. Like, and then they file them in, and you talk to these guys, and you
pump
up the show, and they take a picture, they do whatever, but they don't really know you because you don't really have anything.
It hasn't happened
yet. They tell you that, you know, they tell you, like, don't say you're going to help the kids. Say you're going to help the young people, the young adults. Let's say young adults. Let's say kids. You know, that's weird. And then they file. Finally, it takes place over days. Like, it would look so antiquated and so weird now. And they're, it's in a big convention hall.
Right,
and
right.
So what you basically have is like a triage unit, like when after there's a terrorist attack
or an earthquake in Guatemala.
It's like what they set up at the gym.
We were behind the Raymond cast, and we had been on a year, and we were trying to salvage the show. So they said, look, it's going to get ugly, but if you want to do it. And Howard felt we should go, and we went. It was the year he gave the keynote address.
Where was it?
In New Orleans.
Oh, it was in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they'll print up playing cards with the show's picture on it.
Yeah, and all kinds of swag.
And once in a while, if you're lucky, like when you're walking to the convention center, you'll see your name on a bus.
Right.
Like, go past. They take over the city. Do they still have this
thing? I don't think
they
do it anymore because, you know, it's a dying world. Syndication. Who gets syndicated now?
We were cleared. I remember the producers telling us, like, you're cleared in 97% of the country. And it's like, oh, my God. And they were like, "That we've never had a show cleared in that much. We cleared it 97. And then, like, 2 weeks later, like, yeah, they're not doing it. We pulled the plug. And then they kept saying, we've never had a show cleared in 97% of the country where they
you
pulled the plug.
You shipped platinum and you returned platinum.
That's right. So I'm such an idiot that. We were about to start filming to do our syndicated late night show, and it was right on the eve of Kevin and Bean and Jimmy going to New York for the MTV Awards, and it was me on the phone with Jimmy going, yeah, I wish I could go, but we got to start on Friday, and oh, I envy you guys. And then Stone Stanley called me, and the producers, and they're like, hey, man, really bad news. The show's been canceled. And I go, oh, okay. All right. I got to call Jimmy.
Yeah,
I got to get a plane ticket. So then they go, hey, no, seriously, it's canceled. And I'm like, no, I heard you. Okay.
You're
but I got to get on the phone with Jimmy. I got to get a room in the Riga Royal. And I go, and I hung up the phone and I was like, woo, I get to go to New York for 4 days. I have such bad wiring that
That's so funny. Praying for rain.
And then it got picked up a year later on MTV. So it didn't. It didn't matter, but sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No, can I scratch an itch for just a second? You don't mind with Vinny?
Yeah.
Speaking of Howard Stern, the woman who directed his movie, Betty Thomas, also made one of my favorite. I call it a guilty pleasure because I don't think it's a great movie, but it's a TV movie called The Late Shift.
Yeah, where Letterman was wearing a red wig for some reason.
Is John Michael Higgins? I think was Letterman.
Yeah,
I think I'm right about that. Anyway, I enjoy that movie so much. I've seen it so many times. It's streaming on Amazon and on HBO. If people want to check it out. It's about the transition from Carson to either Letterman or Leno.
The week after that movie came out, I started
there. Okay, I didn't know if you were involved in any of that.
No, that all happened at NBC.
How accurate was – I mean, it was based on Bill Carter's book, so I assume it was fairly –
I think it was pretty accurate.
Okay. Was Helen Kushnick really that insane?
That's – I heard that it was, you know – I mean,
she is portrayed to be
– But what a great job she did with Leno, right?
Leno's manager or agent.
She got Carson out. She kicked Carson out.
Kathy Bates played her, and she was portrayed as an insane person.
I had Bill Carter, who – wrote an article on Jimmy and was following Jimmy around once.
Well, you two are
beginning.
Jimmy and you, by proxy, are prominently featured in the follow-up book,
right.
The War for Late Night, which I also read.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Well, okay. Jimmy a little more than you.
You know what? I learned it's so much – it's more fun to read this stuff than to be part of it. I followed this my whole life. I was such a TV idiot of that. I still consider myself more of a fan than someone who's actually been in the room and worked with these guys. It's so much better being at home in your underwear watching this. I mean, you know, Letterman's NBC show was like YouTube of its time. Think about it. The stupid – all these little micro things that happened – he was like the Grateful Dead for us. We were getting – it was the birth of the Betamax and the VCR.
Right, right.
I remember getting two VCRs so I could tape the show and then do the highlights of it on another tape. And that's – I'm not the only one. You know, Mark Hamill, I think, is an avowed – he wrote a piece on his obsession with Letterman. That's really funny.
Yeah, he was something that he spoke to some sort of – gene that was dormant, some sort of comedic gene that was dormant in especially young men, and then it was like awoken by him, and they're like inspired, you know. And again, everyone like, yeah, they're like Leno, like he's fine, but they didn't have that thing where they had that, like, he could have started a cult.
He's
gone to Guyana, Jimmy'd be dead right now.
That's so funny that you say that. He really, when you put it like that, he was an infamous YouTube star before the internet. That's exactly right.
And if you go, and it's full circle right now, because you can get into the rabbit hole of the Letterman show on YouTube right now. You go on YouTube and you're looking at a Don Rickles clip, and suddenly it knows inherently you're going to want another one.
You're going to want to see Moochie Barnes Zero Jewel.
Yeah, and Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Working on it. But, you know, I just want to like circle back to something that you said before I came out here. Back to that, because this is the first time I've actually spoken to anyone, been out of my – I've been under CBS house arrest, it felt like, for the last year. I mean, it was ugly. It was a really ugly situation. And you're right. I'm not Me Too, but I'm a victim. Everything got conflated.
Right.
But the stuff with me – You set it up perfectly, but I want to give you the follow-up.
It was based after a CNN blogger did a hit piece on you?
No, but here's the interesting thing, okay? All of that stuff happened, the version of that, those conversations, all in large groups, by the way. All like, just tormenting you.
Cornering someone like
Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack with Ted Knight, you know?
Right.
That's how I'm portrayed, you know? Just, it was, and in these meetings, huge laughs, and my jokes always had a point. I never said something just for the sake. Sometimes you try to be funny, but other times you're making a point, or you're trying to make a point. So there is a system, and it actually worked. You should be able to go to HR. You should be able to go to a place, especially if someone's taking their dick out. You know, there should be you should feel like, okay, this is really weird and making me uncomfortable. So went to HR. The jokey stuff. And when I gave context to everything, as it says in the CNN article, it was addressed and it was fine. Okay. 2 years go by and a little thing called Me Too happens. Right.
Right.
And the person who went to HR was no longer at the show 2 years later, but was very good friends with the CNN reporter because that reporter was an intern for that person on the Colbert Report. People don't, she never disclosed that in the article, and basically fed her all the HR stuff that happened out of context, right? And said, you should write about this guy because, look, he worked for Leslie Moonves. He worked for disgusting Howard Stern. Like, I had on paper, like, I was such a great target. When I heard that they were doing the story about me, I heard about it. I was the last to know, by the way. Like, people knew about it before I even did, and no one told me, and no one even tried to stop it because it was so unfair. When I heard about it and I heard what she was writing about, I said, oh, that'll never get by her editor. Like, how could you write about this without portraying, you know, other sides of it? People spoke to her on my behalf at the show and people in my life to give a fuller context. I wouldn't speak to the reporter. She said, unless you go on the record, I won't use your stuff. I have 40 people willing to go on the record. And I said, I don't have that much material, okay? You know, 40 people in one room recounting the same joke, all right? And they're all willing to go on record. The article comes out. You could read it. And it's not a single name is used. Every joke was from what was brought up 2 years ago that was cleared. But it was like a powder keg. You can't – it was so irresponsible for people to talk to this reporter and for the reporter to write that without disclosing that she knew all of these people intimately because she was their intern, that she was not using any of the stuff that gave proper context, and it blew up. I mean, the next day,
well, can
New
I
York
just
Times,
jump in and say this? we're living in a weird world because Ronan Farrow comes in and he's got names and he has times and he has time stamps and he's got a bunch of stuff and they tell him insufficient.
Right.
Not enough to roll with this story. Right. And then there are other stories like anonymous whistleblower, right. anonymous right. this or right. anonymous that. We'll run with that. So my story, my thing is which is it? It's got to be a little consistent. And when you're looking out for Matt Lauer,
right.
or you're looking out for Weinstein, or you don't want Weinstein to go after Matt Lauer, then super conveniently, Ronan Farrow's Mile High dossier is not enough information
right.
for you.
Right.
But if you want to just go ahead and take Vinny and time to the whipping post, go ahead with a bunch of anonymous, whatever. At least be consistent.
It was so unfair. And then what happened was, so the article, people think the article was reporting me taking a leave of absence or leaving CBS. No, I had to leave because she was writing about a 3-year-old HR matter. It's like everything gets confused. So she wasn't reporting anything. She literally essentially got me fired, you know?
Right. So is that what happened?
So what happened was, and this is such an emotional time for me because it was a year ago this week. This in October, the article came out, and then we went back and forth with lawyers, you know, for a year. But for 3 months, it was another investigation, and I was terminated without cause, which is basically saying, it's you, not me. It's me, not you, you know? It was ridiculous. Right. There was no reason. So I got everything I wanted in the settlement, including a joint release that, of course, no one picked up on, you know,
sure.
that said Vinny's a great guy. You know, the Times was so quick to write about me when Rome was burning and there was nothing to really write about, but did not follow up with like, oh, wait, there was nothing there because CBS just issued a release with him saying, you know, he's a great guy with a great quote from Kelly Call. So I got what I wanted, which is never going to be enough. And CBS got what they wanted, which is I can't talk about that part of it. But I could talk about the CNN article. And I just hope there's justice in the world. I wish someone held this reporter accountable for what she did. There was like no – she was a blogger. It was on a CNN blog.
Well, there's a couple things. Somebody's name being destroyed – that, you know, when we were talking about Gloria Allred earlier, and she was saying, Michael Richards, he doesn't deserve to be punished. I said, oh, he's being punished. He's being punished. He's a pariah. His name,
right.
his name, your reputation and your name. We used to kind of, in biblical times, that meant a lot. You
right.
couldn't kill somebody's name. It was like killing
like
them.
A word.
Yes, it's a major deal, and the people that just hop on their fucking laptop and destroy someone's name, sort of willy-nilly. Yeah.
So here's what happened to me. Like, my internet, my reputation has been pretty fucking amazing. 40 years in television, right? You searched my name, all my charity work. I wrote a musical that got great reviews, and it's now it's in Argentina. A nice body of work, my Letterman stories, Howard Stern, great guy, da-da-da-da-da. It was identity theft. In one fucking day, it's like someone stole all my credit cards and was charging up shit. Like, I lost control. So one of the reasons I'm so thankful to be here is, you know, I had to hire a search engine optimization company. Like, I have people now. I have a crisis PR person in the other room. Like I'm not working, but I have a staff. I have to pay. So I'm launching VinnyFavalli.com. That's Vinny with a IE. And I'm sorry for the plug, but...
Sure. I
literally need people. I got to push. You could never make the shit stain go away of what they did. I got to push it down with goodness. I just got to do great stuff moving forward and promote that. But they stole my identity. And that these people that unnamed felt comfortable enough to speak to a reporter, what were they thinking? Like, what were they? It's like yelling fire in a crowded movie house. You put that scarlet letter on anyone. Vanity Fair's headline that I was fired for sexual harassment. I'm like, this wasn't even that. But the headline writers never really read the article that they're writing the headline for. So you Google my name and it's a disaster. It's horrible.
Well, you know, also Vinny is... I don't know, 5 foot 8.5, 5 foot.
No, you're being kind.
Vinny doesn't feel like the corner, the gal, flip the light switch off and go, you know how the game is played, yeah. Don't you?
I'm going to tell you a couple of jokes.
He seems like the guy who would make a joke in a writer's room and have everyone laughing. this thing where we can just sort of start a movement and then essentially go, well, it's an umbrella and we'll get everyone under this umbrella and we'll just go ahead and mix everyone up and you can be Bill Cosby or Weinstein or you can be Al Franken or Vinny. It doesn't matter. You're all in the same umbrella. And then if Matt Damon points that out, we'll cast him out to the cornfield too. This, it's not journalism. It's not humanity. It accomplishes nothing. It hurts your cause. It takes a little bit of the attention away from those who need more attention and puts a little bit more on the Vinnies and the whoever, the other innocuous whoever's, and you completely destroy your cause. It feels good when you're doing it because you're a bad person. This shouldn't feel good to you. It shouldn't feel good to embellish and sort of take people out to the town square and paint a scarlet letter on them, especially ones who really did nothing. Like, we're really talking about...
I did. Everything was in... Like, in the article, it says that I said some horrible things about Gloria Steinem. Here's what I said about Gloria Steinem. We're the ratings every day. We're looking at the ratings. I'm under so much pressure because we have to beat Fallon. We have to be competitive. It's a new show. Hey,
Colbert.
We should book Gloria... and this is in a room. And, Colbert's not there. This is just, a talent meeting. Hey, we should book... Gloria Steinem from an earnest millennial who in the Comedy Central world, that made sense for that show because there was a character that was going to make fun of that, right?
Right, Colbert Report.
We're a real show. We're 11:30. We're on the network. I'm like, that's not going to happen. I literally said, it got to the point where I had to challenge them. I would let a lot of stuff go in the beginning because I figured, well, these guys, they know what they're doing. Look at their success. But it's really important what she has to say. She's, Gloria Steinem. It's feminism, da-da-da. I said, you know what? Give me who's a younger Gloria Steinem? Find me someone more relatable that's doing that. I mean, she can't be the only one because Gloria Steinem on your show is like the Mike Douglas show from 1968. Like, let's get Ralph Nader, too. And let's just...
Right.
So you read the article, and it's like, I said... get me a hotter Gloria Steinem, which, by the way, I could have said that. I should have said that. That's funnier. But that doesn't make me a sexist, an agent. I'm a late-night executive trying to help you keep your job.
Yeah, everyone is trying to book Billie Eilish or one of the Kardashians. And if you have old Gertie on your show, then you're the old grandpa show.
Right.
And they're the young hip show. Everyone's trying to
And that's the person that ended up going to... They built a whole...
Fuck all these fucking self-esteem people with their fucking self-esteem.
Imagine sitting down. Like, it was like Albert Brooks in Defending Your Life. You have to sit and say, well, you spoke about the menstrual cycle of an actress. I go... What? Like, I was trying to find out where's the joke in that. Like, I would never do that. Doesn't make any sense. And then I remember, the actress who played Supergirl. I turned to a friend when her name came up, and I just said to my friend, do you think Supergirl's menstrual cycle is more intense than the average woman, given her powers? It was a big laugh.
This is damn exciting stuff from the movie.
Big laugh in the room, except for the Margaret Dumont character, the one who's going to be like, the hand wringing.
The fainting couch.
The pearl clutcher.
The pearl clutcher from Megan Down, right, our friend?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that got me fired.
It's so insane.
And you look at James Gunn. Look at that situation, right?
The tweets.
Now that actually was the way it should work. I get the knee-jerk reaction. I get the knee-jerk reaction from Disney saying, holy shit, okay, wait a second. It's a big franchise, but this guy now, there's tweets from, I think Gunn's a big Stern fan, and I think he might have been doing his version of Stern humor, on Twitter, which never works out of context, right? Mm-hmm. But he was doing it, and he admitted, oh, whatever. That gets out. He gets fired, right? The knee jerk. But then an amazing thing happens. logic comes in, and which is what I hoped would happen with me.
And his friends and coworkers go to bat for him, right. very publicly.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, no one was batting for me. You know, privately they were, but you know, I lost a lot of friendships in this. I mean, this was a stress test on your life. It tests your marriage. It tests your relationships. You know, I love Howard. He was there for me the day after privately when I needed it, and I did Howard's book. I developed that book. I had a big role in the book, and I figured, oh my God, what I did was I made a mock-up without telling Howard or anyone. I went to Simon & Schuster and saying, I can get you in the room with Howard if you listen to me. Make up two copies of a mock-up of the book. He'll be blown away just seeing his interviews in print. It got us in the room with Howard again. It did the deal. I was, you know, it had been a year. I was in mourning. I was scared, well, man. And I emailed August, your guy, and a cold email. Joanna Jordan gave me his name. I said, hey, who runs Corolla? He might be dumb enough to have me on the show, you know?
Well,
and I know that you're repped by the same people. You know, it was just like, I just took a shot, and you got back to me so quickly. I'm like, fuck, they want me on. Like, this is amazing.
Well, I just came out with No Safe Spaces, yeah. So it's on my mind.
Yeah.
This thing, when I keep talking about kind of wishing everyone out in the cornfield, you know, yeah. Taxpayers, good people,
right.
Husbands, you know, citizens, this notion of, and a lot of it is Schadenfreude, I believe. You know, I believe everybody has a kind of a little demon in them that likes to, when they drive past an accident on the side of the freeway, go, oh, that guy, oh, he got hurt. Right. Oh, that's a bad one. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to ruin your day. That guy's not going to have a good holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is.
Got right, that his car's off on his porch.
Yeah, that guy's car's totaled. So look, it's Schadenfreude, yeah. Whatever. And we all have that, and we have to kind of work all the time to tamp it down. Mm-hmm. And the internet has really just let it run wild, like just setting doves free from Mike Tyson's apartment roof. You know, it's just go, just go, my pretties.
No filter.
Yeah. And then people are also sadly getting some sort of endorphin rush or dopamine drop out of being in charge of other people. Like, I could screw that person's right. life up. All right. I got to do is walk down the hall and talk to that person, and then right. that person, right. whatever the life as they know it. And by the way, the other rush of that guy, he's been doing this for 35 years. He makes 10 times what I make. Mm. He drives a Mercedes. I took a bus here. I'm going to go down the hall mm-hmm. and fuck that guy shit you know, up forever.
That, like, that was in the article. They were resentful of all my achievements in the 2 years, because then I became any head of talent.
Any private can get the general fired from the army by just walking down the hall. Mm. By the way, that concept is flawed and it's a little scary.
It's
where everybody and anyone whose hash you have ever settled, right. like anyone you right. went, hey, 9 a.m. means 9, not 9:22.
Right.
So this meeting started. Anybody you do that mm-hmm. to, they can go down the hall too and fix you up real good.
And if that doesn't work, they can go to their reporter friend.
Right.
I mean, they could just cut to the chase for the people that are in my world.
The good news is for you and your spiral and your misery.
Again.
I don't even believe it anymore. Like, I hear, hey, you know what happened to?
Right.
And listen, I get it. You're out of a job, but you got settled up, hopefully. But what I'm saying is, it's like, I hear a story about, did you hear what so? I'm like, I you know what?
It's in one ear out
you
the other.
You fucked this up yeah. so royally that I'm not even listening anymore.
Well, and to piggyback on that, the thing I've never understood about this movement, and I'm a woman, and I you know, whatever, there are things about it that I'm like, oh, well, this is refreshing. Well, guess what? When you end up turning on each other, turning on your allies, and I've said this 1,000 times, then what's the point? What are you doing when all of a sudden all you're looking at are the people who support you and are not doing anything wrong and are trying to live their lives? When you turn on them, then what are you doing? Why are you doing it?
And also, as something I've always stressed, we need to get back to actions. Words can be misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. They are oftentimes misinterpreted. Actions. you're going to have to do something bad to somebody at some point. Mm. You're going to have to put your hands on them. If you're an arsonist, you got to strike a match.
Right.
You're going to have to do something. I'm tired of all the people who've never done anything, but those words, I heard your words, like the words that never resulted in anything. Nobody was fired. Nobody was sexually assaulted. Right. Nobody was anything.
Did you murder anybody?
But it's still the words.
Just my own career.
In a world where words can be misquoted, misrepresented, misremembered, and taken out of context, I'm sorry. I need to see some actions. Right. If you're going to explain to me that this is a bad dude, then I want to hear some stories of that dude being a bad dude. Like we used to hear. It's not like, oh, the Dalton boys are going to be in the first stagecoach into town. You know, those guys can talk up a storm. Do they have six shooters? No, but they have
material.
The Dalton boys, they will put
They'll
you down.
You, deep.
You will feel bad. One of the Daltons, I think Landry Dalton asked me if I'd put some weight on last time I talked to him. And I was like, it was around the holidays.
Hurtful. Very hurtful.
Anyway, they're going to be here in the first stagecoach. So batten down the hatches because the Dalton boys are coming. Did they shoot anyway? Well, they shoot their mouth off. I'll tell you that right now. A lot of the townsmen feel bad.
Oh, they're blue. They're blue.
Yeah. We're going to get together a little blog posse, I call it. Then we're going to write some negative things about the Dalton boys.
We'll circle laptops.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll come in there and they'll ask for, they'll come in the saloon and ask for two fingers of the best whiskey. And then they'll say, I said the best, not the middle shelf stuff. And then the bartender will feel bad.
Yeah. The mixologist.
Yeah. And then at some point, they'll do that when a guy lights up his cigar. They'll do the over the top coughing and shame him. I can't breathe.
The bartender just points to a sign. It says no smoking inside. It just points.
That's right. And then they'll go to the guy playing the player piano or playing the upright piano. Couldn't fit a grand or baby grand in here. Had to go with an upright. Interesting choice. And then they'll go back to the bar and they'll put people down with their words.
Oh God!
They're not afraid to tweet.
Yeah,
I don't want to know what they'll do at the brothel.
Think about all the folks, all the bad people historically. Oh, they put their hands on people back in the day. They put their swords on people. They put their bullets in people. They do all
the stuff.
How about
Sinatra? You read the Sinatra biography, and it's like, wow.
Bad dudes were bad dudes. Right. Not, oh, this guy cracked a lot of jokes in a writer's room.
Which, ironically, should be a very safe space to do that.
No. Well, yeah. It's not like I worked at an insurance company. You know, when you're, when you're in a talent meeting, you know how brutal it is? And not just me. It's like, oh, we can't book her. She's had too much plastic surgery. It'll weird Dave out. You know?
Right.
Like, you know, it'll just be like you're overly cautious. And everyone is judged by their last movie, by their physical appearance, by their age. You're trying to do a mix that's entertaining. And if you have an opinion on that and it goes contrary to this other person, they can go down the hall. And then if that doesn't work, because you should go down the hall. Even for that, I would maintain go. Let's live in a world. When I heard that they were going to go to HR, I was like, at the time, I was like, that's great. Let's get an adult in the room. Mm-hmm. Let's get someone to – and I turned out to be right at the time because they realized this was stupid when I explained. They were laughing as I was giving the context. I was offended as a comedian, not as an executive.
I would be – Gina, you be the girl, the writer complaining about Vinny, and I'll be the HR person because I'd be the worst HR person in the world.
Hi, I'm really glad you took the time.
I told you guys not to come in here.
No, this is very, very
important. The door's closed. Could you knock for Christ's sake? I'm eating.
But you don't understand. I've been threatened emotionally and beyond.
Hold on. I'm playing Angry Birds.
Okay, but here's the thing. Something was said to me. I'm very uncomfortable.
When you pause a video game, do you get to start up where you left off?
Yeah, no, it'll start right back up.
I don't know. I wish my son was here. Yeah, Can you just pause this on my phone?
Yeah, here you go. Anyway, you know Vinny, Mr. Favale?
Vinny. Funny guy, to some people.
It's funny how offensive he is because he really, really hurt my feelings.
He's been married like 37 years.
Well, anyway, I don't know about that. All I know about that.
So what's the problem? You weren't funny?
He says some sick, sick things, and I am completely offended. I am threatened, and I don't feel safe working here.
Huh. That dress looks good on you. Is that... That's something. Can you dive out? I mean, obviously you're a shapely woman. You get that? I'm not crossing the line. But can you buy like a bra at a regular store? Or do you have to have one made?
Do you have like a boss I can talk to?
I got a hog you can talk to. I call him Boss Hawk.
Was that Dukes of Hazzard?
Hey, can I have my video game back?
Yeah, here. Anyway.
Who are you talking about?
So Vinny made me very, very uncomfortable. He made a lot of people uncomfortable, Christ. Actually. I could bring people in here. It would make your head spin.
Tell you about spinning. Come on, turn around. Let me get a look at the backside of you. You been working out?
Literally anyone else in this office I can talk to.
I'm kind of in charge of, what do you call this, homeroom? I keep saying HR, but they won't tell me what it stands for.
Human resources.
Do we do tax preparation? You look good. You've been working out?
I mean, yeah, but that's like none of
your business. Say, you're not funny, but you look good, girl.
All right, I gotta go file a police report.
Oh, well, hold on. Let me tell you something. You know, I'm on my computer now. I'm looking at some of this he-she porn, but I can't tell if it's an act. I feel. Can I show?
It's called they porn.
Oh, they porn. But can I say this? I'm watching this whole theme where, like, the son and the stepmom are getting it on, but I don't think these two are related. I think they're actors. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I should buy into this.
I'm sorry. I know this probably isn't my business, but is your safe search off? Because it's supposed to be on in this facility.
I don't know. I'll mule in my own porn when I'm not playing Angry Birds in my refractory period. But have you ever seen this cuckolding stuff? I don't, like, they do it like this is happening. I don't think that's a couple. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's an actor. And by the way, sweetest gig in porn. You get to watch a black dude plow this hot chick who you're not really married to. I mean, that's win-win. You don't have to show your dick, and you just get to watch the sex from the fucking right on the floor with Jack. That's awesome.
So anyway, Vinny said this joke, and I really didn't like it.
Wait a minute. Vinny's the funny guy, the harmless guy from down the hall?
He is the threatening assaulter. Oh,
fuck, I got to pause my porn now. Do you know how to pause porn? Do you pause porn or you just reboot?
You know what? I don't even want to tell you what he said about Supergirl. I'll probably start crying.
I wonder if they took Angry Birds and made angry porn, if that's like a... I'm going to write that down on a post-it. Could you take a note?
I'm not your secretary. I'm here with a very valid complaint about Vinny Fabbali.
Can you get my secretary?
Hold on.
All right. Hey, what do you... No panty lines at all. Is that a thong back or just kind of going on after a while?
I can't work here and I'm taking all of you down with me.
Well, first off, I don't go down. That's not my thing. I don't eat anything that gets up and walks away when I'm done with it. You know what I'm saying? I heard a guy say that when I was playing JC Ball. Speaking of going down, I dropped a contact under my desk. You think you could look for it?
Oh, fine.
Thank you. Oh, Leah, you know how I said shut the door? Let's lock the door this time. As a matter of fact, I'll just do it from this button from underneath my desk.
Mr. Buddy, Lauer, Matt. Please.
There you go. Now, where were we?
Vinny told a joke.
Oh, Vinny, yeah, I like that guy.
No, it was a horrible joke. It was about Supergirl, and I started crying, and I don't want to work here anymore, and I don't think he should work here anymore.
Uh-huh, yeah, okay.
Can I come out from under this desk?
Yeah, can we? All right, let me pause Angry Birds. All right, let me see if I write this down. You don't want Supergirl to work here anymore.
No, okay, I can't work here anymore, and I can't have Vinny work here anymore.
Vinny can't work for Supergirl anymore because of his Angry Birds.
No, you got this completely backward. Can I please come out from under this desk?
Okay, just tell me your cup size and we can kind of move on here because I got some paperwork to fill out.
Me, Vinny. You wanted to see me?
Hey, young Vinny.
Hey, oh, are you watching day porn?
Yeah, I'm watching.
Oh, I was watching some day porn too.
Yeah.
Who's this hot piece of ass? Hello, Vinny. Good looking. Hey. What you got cooking?
Hey, can you get me a latte?
I'll make it two.
I can get you a latte of lawsuits because I can't do this here anymore.
Okay, don't make it two of those.
I don't get that pun. I'm not funny like Vinny. I'm just working.
No, you're not.
I work in homeroom and scene. All right.
Did it go down like that?
That was exactly the way it went down.
I would be the worst. I'd constantly be going, it's fine. Just go back.
Scamper on back.
I'd handle it like Joe Paternal. Joe Paterno.
Paterno.
Not very paternal.
Joe Paterno handled like the pedophilia. I'd be like, just go back to the...
On that YouPorn stuff that you mentioned, how weird is it that there's like a Facebook like button? Like, you're supposed to share that on Facebook?
Is there?
Yeah. Like, could you imagine if you accidentally shared cuckolding?
I've seen the thumbs up, but I'm not seeing the share.
I didn't see thumbs up.
See, it's that kind of jokes, Vinny.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why you had... That's why I've asked you to come to my office. All right, let me hit Geico, and then we'll do a little news. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you, Ed? Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance at Geico. That's geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at Geico. That's Geico, geico.com. All right. By the way, Shelby American, my movie, is out on Netflix now. And if you want a Blu-ray, go to Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, and get one. Be a good gift for the holidays. You can check out our newsletter, Corolla Newsletter. You can sign up at adamcarolla.com. And Cranky Anchors and Laughs with Bald Brian. You can get the audio. And all the money's going to charity, just $4.99 for 2.5 hours of funny, funny stuff. Oxnard, Levity Live, Milwaukee, Chicago, all coming up. Go to adamcarolla.com. What do we got, Gina Grant?
Oh, there it is now?
Yeah, let's do it. Sorry. Oh, wait. Whoa. Sorry. Break. And we'll come back and do the news. Sorry. Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand, completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy, it's completely legal, and it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for? You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.